All this week, we've invited some of the nation's top chefs into our studio to offer up a recipe for your Christmas table. To kick things off this morning, we have Movida's Frank Camora. When Frank first opened Movida in Melbourne 10 years ago, he wasn't quite sure what to expect. He knew he wanted to bring the joy of tapas to Melbourne, so he started serving all sorts of shared plates, beer and wine with a certain Spanish style. Movida went on to win a slew of accolades and good food awards. Frank has since brought Movida to Sydney, again to great acclaim and gratitude from food lovers. So, for the first of our Christmas cooks, here's Frank Camora. Frank, welcome to breakfast and Merry Christmas.
Oh, thanks, Frank. Pleasure to be here.
Frank, do you think you've changed how Australians eat out?
Look, I think there's been definitely a change over the period that we've been open over the last 10 years. I think when I first started cooking, my background was sort of in fine dining and in Italian food, and I went over to Spain and worked there for a little while, and sort of that's where my family comes from. That's where I was born, and I just saw the way they did it, and it was much more about an experience, a lot more fun, and just thought, you know, that would really work well here, well, in Melbourne where we first started.
Mm.
It just seemed like, you know, it was always quite serious. There's an entree, main, dessert sort of expectations, and, you know, being doted on by waiters, and you know, when you go to Spain, going out's fun, and I just wanted to sort of capture that. So I guess, you know, and that sort of casual dining certainly gone a long way over those 10 years.
Mm, it certainly has. I mean, Movida, for instance, isn't a restaurant, it's a juggernaut, I think is a better description. The Movida in Melbourne, yeah. Movida next door, Movida Acqui, Paco's Tacos, Movida in Sydney, Movida cookbooks, the bars, a bakery. Australians just in love with Movida. Does he think it suits, eating the Spanish way, eating tapas, do you think it suits the Australian temperament?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're pretty casual culture. I don't think we sort of necessarily like to go on a lot of, you know, serious ways of eating or you know, have a structured way of eating. Because, I mean, these days we've matured quite a bit. So, you know, if you want to just have a glass of wine and something small to nibble on, why can't you do that? Why do you have to go in a restaurant and have, you know, three courses and stay there for 3 or 4 hours as it used to be? So I think that to me is a sign of maturity, that we are able to just have, you know, a lovely glass of wine and a lovely piece of food, and it doesn't have to be just in a pub. You know, it can be in a nice environment with you know, great service and great product.
And maybe we're a little bit more experimental, prepared to experiment more with our food, not just as a result of restaurants like yours, but also, you know, the explosion of cooking shows and that the palate is changing.
Oh, look, that's definite. That's the one amazing thing about Australian cuisine, is the fact that there's such diversity in the cuisine available and what you can try and the ingredients available. I mean, you know, even going back to Spain to work, I mean, it was wonderful for my cuisine and what I do, but it was hopeless if I wanted to try Chinese food or Thai food or even Italian food, which is just, you know, across the Mediterranean. I ate in an Italian restaurant once and it was just horrible, and that was meant to be one of the better ones. And so, yeah, the fact that we've got, you know, an amazing range of cultures that have brought their food here is pretty unique, really.
But going back to Spain would have been great for Spanish food. Obviously, there's an explosion of new style Spanish cooking in Spain, isn't there, in recent years, especially in Catalonia, around Barcelona?
Oh, there is. I mean, you know, during that 10 years we were open, or even before then, you know, modern Spanish cuisine has sort of become really central on the stage of food in the world.
What is it now? It's obviously not just garlic, prawns and potatoes.
Look, it's you know, the best versions of these take the traditions and then reinterpret them somehow and improve the quality of the ingredient, really sort of encouraging amazing ingredients. And there's always a twist in them and something interesting and something unexpected. And, you know, it's an amazing experience in some of these restaurants. Saying that, I mean, the economy has gone pretty downhill over the last years. So it's sort of, again, being reinterpreted. You know, all those young chefs that would have been now going into their Michelin star restaurants that are trained under the big Spanish chefs are now sort of opening these tiny little restaurants that are kind of, you know, inexpensive to set up and inexpensive to go to. So you can go to a restaurant in Barcelona and a young chef might be cooking that have worked for Ferran Adrià or any of the other big names. And, you know, you can meet an amazing menu where, you know, you might only pay, you know, 7 or 8 euros for a dish, and they'll be small dishes, but they'll be just, you know, almost to the standard of what you might be getting in the Michelin star places.
It's how tapas is meant to be from way back, though, isn't it? Having a drink, something light and cheap to eat. It's not it's not meant to be an expensive experience.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Traditionally, that's the way it works. It's basically, you know, it's tapas bars are local bars where you'll meet your friends, your family, and it's a social occasion. So you'll go and have a glass of wine, you know, something to eat, and generally you might move on to another place. And generally there's places that are, you know, very specific about one particular thing they do. So one place will have the best anchovies, another place will serve the best cheese, and on you go. And you find out which ones do the best things, and you go from one to the other, and you sort of slowly have a glass of wine in each one, and it ends up being an amazing night. But saying that, it's like the classic type of restaurant here might be a pub. You know, that's what we're, you know, our culture is, and that's the most well-known sort of way to socialise. But, you know, even within Australia, there's all different types of pubs. There's your local pub and there's the really fancy pub and everything in between. So it's hard to sort of pinpoint what tapas are.
Wine too, you serve Spanish wines.
We serve Spanish and Australian wines and European wines as well.
And how popular are the Spanish wines growing in popularity as the diners get more familiar with them?
Well, they're sort of undiscovered, really, by the general public. So there's a huge range of regions in Spain. And my favourite wine in the world to drink still is sherry. I mean, and that's the classic.
Sherry?
Yeah, Spanish sherry to me is
you
is
and
amazing.
My mum.
Exactly. Well, that's right. Australia used to have an amazing culture of drinking sherry. And we used to make amazing sherries as well. But that's, I mean, even before, like, we were well-known for our table wines, you know, the Australian wine industry was based around fortified wines, sherries and ports, and that's changed, obviously, over the years. But, you know, in the south of Spain, where tapas started, if you go in and ask for a glass of wine and just say, oh, have a glass of wine, up comes a glass of dry sherry.
Not Rioja.
No, it's... Well, that's funny. It's so regional. Like, if I was in Barcelona, I would find it hard to find a glass of sherry. So it's that sort of country where they're pretty... patriotic to their region, and a lot of the products you would easily find in Melbourne or Sydney, find it really hard to find if in another region of Spain where it's not from.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest this morning is another Christmas cook, Frank Camora, who's really taken Australia by storm with his Movida restaurants, tapas bars, Spanish cooking, Spanish food. Frank Camora, tell us about Christmas in Spain. How is it celebrated, and more importantly, what's on the menu?
Okay. Well, firstly, you know, it's the middle of winter, so the food is going to be a lot heartier. It's actually the 24th of September, so Christmas Eve is the big day that the celebration happens. The 25th is a lot more solemn. People just stay at home. They might visit some friends. And in fact, that's kind of what happens on the 25th. You'll go and visit your neighbours, you'll go visit family, and there'll be a glass of sweet liqueur like anise or liquor 43, Spanish liqueurs, and then there'll be all sorts of little pastries that you might have bought from the pastry shop or even from nuns that sell them, or you might have made yourself at home. But the 24th is the day that everyone gets together. That's our big celebration day. And then there's another day on the 6th of January, which is King's Day, which is basically, you know, the Magi, the three kings, when they gave the presents to Jesus. Then that's the day when you actually give the presents to the children. So the kids have to wait about a week or two before they start getting their presents.
So on 24, that's the big dining experience.
It is.
What's on your table?
Well, we go to my parents on the 24th. So we take my wife, my kids, my sister and her family, and we all meet up at my mum and dad's. And, you know, traditionally there's a dish which is called lombardo, which is basically a big red boiled cabbage. There's a soup called picadillo, which is a sort of a, not hearty, but it's a chicken broth type soup with jamon. And then, you know, you might have suckling pig of, you know, or pork or something, you know, quite hearty. These days at home, we generally have really light food. So we'll have some seafood, typically prawns. Mum makes croquettes, which is a little signature, which are just deep fried bechamel with flavoured with all sorts of different things, little snacks to start with. And then my dad makes generally this dish called pinchos morunos, which is, it's basically like a sort of Middle Eastern lamb kebab. It's quite traditionally Spanish, but it has those Middle Eastern flavours. He sets up like this charcoal bed and cooks these little skewers over the grill.
Mm.
That's his. He does that for my birthday every year. He does it for Christmas.
I might ask him around for my birthday. That sounds good.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so we do that on the 24th, and then on the 25th, I go to Vanessa, my wife's family's house, or we have it at our house. So we get two Christmases, which is fun. That's a little bit more traditional, but we like to, you know, play it because I don't enjoy having, you know, massive amounts of meat and you know, roasts and all that sort of traditional sort of Christmas sort of food on Christmas Day. I'd like something a little bit lighter. So we generally stick with seafood. One of the dishes we really love making is just like, you know, whole baked fish over potatoes and peppers. And basically that the fish sort of cooks in the oven slowly. And it's almost like having a whole turkey, a whole animal basically. And it's, you know, all the juices from the on the fish sort of it penetrate the potatoes. Absolutely delicious.
Now, we have asked you to bring in, to give us a Christmas recipe. Do you think we should go for the whole baked fish?
I think so, absolutely. Well, it's a great way to feed a lot of people easily, and it's super tasty, so I think it's a good option.
Can you talk us through it a little bit more?
Yeah, you can use any type of whole fish. Like, if you can find a lovely red emperor or a snapper, if you can find a large snapper, you can do the whole snapper or a few smaller snappers. It's up to you. It's quite simple. You just, yeah, obviously clean the fish skins off, and then you marinate the fish. So I usually use chopped parsley, garlic, olive oil, and a bit of lemon juice, and I just mix it all over the fish inside the cavity really well, season it really well. And in a pot, I just get some onions, some garlic, some fresh bay leaves. I got that really lovely smell, and some red and green capsicums or peppers, and then just cook that down really slowly. So just with a lid on it, a little bit of salt, and let it just soften over 20 or 30 minutes. I slice potatoes, so nice waxy potatoes. They sort of keep their shape a little bit better than a white potato you'd make mash with.
So like a Desiree or something?
Exactly, like a Desiree. And then so peel those, slice those about half a centimetre thick, mix those in with the peppers in the pot. And then I get a tray, and I lay down the peppers and the potatoes in the tray. I slice some lemon. I put some herbs on there, some seasoning. Lay the fish on top, a little bit of olive oil in the oven, and you can forget about it and have a drink. And then come back about 20 to 30 minutes later, check it. Should be ready by then, depending on the size of the fish, and Christmas lunch is served.
That sounds fantastic.
Exactly.
Frank Kimura, happy Christmas. Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Is your mouth watering? Doesn't it sound good? That's Frank Kimura from Mavita Restaurant. If you'd like to try his recipe for your Christmas table, check out our website. The recipe will be there. And for details about Mavita Restaurants, head to mavita.com.au. Tomorrow, another cook, in fact, one of Australia's favourite cooks, Maggie Beer, joins us. And a hint, she does an incredible thing with an apricot.